I hope you're not confusing me for Father Rich, although people usually think that we are brothers, but we are very happy for his invitation for us to come here at St. Thomas More Parish and Newman Center to come and celebrate this Mass. It's a very special Mass for Father Gustin Turton, who is a servant of God in the process of being canonized to become a Catholic saint in our church. And I'd like also to thank Michelle Sisson White for her invitation. She's the co-chair of the Father Turton Legacy Foundation and Mass, and they have been preparing these for the last 1 year, I think. Every year they have this Mass to help us to understand the life and the legacy of Father Turton. And anyone who is also involved in organizing this Mass, I would like to thank them on behalf of Father Rich. And since I didn't want to take much risk, I decided to bring my choir. So I would like to introduce to you St. Monica's Catholic Church Choir, who are with us this morning, and they will be singing and praising God for us. So, and they have been a great blessing for my parish. You know, if you're in Kansas City and you really want to rock and be jazzed, you know, come to St. Monica's Catholic Parish and you'll have a tweak of it. I would like to, my homily will be on do not judge, you know, what that means in our lives, as we heard from the gospel. There is a story of a homeless man who entered in a subway in Rome and sat next to a priest. He was filthy and his clothes were stained and tattered. His face was plastered with a red lipstick and tattoos all over his arms and neck. And a half-empty bottle of beer was sticking out of his coat pocket. When he sat on the chair, he opened his newspaper and began to read. A few minutes later, he turned to the priest and asked him, "Hey, Father, what causes arthritis?" The priest looked at him in the face, and without much thinking, he said, "Sir, it's caused by loose living, disorganized life, laziness, lack of education, being cheap with women, too much alcohol, and misuse of drugs." So the homeless man was just shied away and said nothing. The priest, you know, looked at him and apologized. "You know, I'm very sorry, sir. I didn't mean to come so strong. I had a long and a tiring day. How long have you had arthritis?" And the man replied, "I don't have it, Father. I was just reading here in the newspaper that your holy father does." So the priest was embarrassed and for making such rash judgment without much thinking and compassion. How often do we judge people just by the way they look? We judge them from our first impression of them. We judge them because of the color of their skin. We judge them because of their cultural upbringing. We judge them because of their gender. We judge them because of what they are wearing. We judge them because of their accent. Or even judge other people with our preconceived ideas about who we think they are. We judge them because of their education, training, and background. We do this all the time, and sometimes without much thinking. St. Mother Teresa would say, "If you judge people, you have no time to love them. For love is patient, love is kind, and love does not keep record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil things, but rejoices in the truth. But when we judge, we don't do none of that." And this is what is happening in the gospel we just heard. Why is this woman brought to Jesus? First, because of her gender. She is a woman. According to Jewish culture, women were lesser beings than men in the society and could be manipulated and tossed about. Secondly, she is not only a woman, but a public sinner. And how are public sinners treated? Without dignity, regard, or even compassion. She deserves to die. Her sentence is already predetermined. The Pharisees and the scribes want to embarrass her in public square. And in doing so, they also want to put Jesus in trouble as well. And so they dragged the woman to Jesus and asked him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law of Moses, commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say? What do you say, Jesus?" So they are putting Jesus in a trap. If Jesus upholds the law of Moses and responds that she must be stoned, it's a violation of the Roman law, which forbids citizens from killing other citizens. And so it gives the scribes and the Pharisees legitimate charge against Jesus of inciting violence to bring to the Romans. It also undermines his reputation as a teacher who always talks about forgiveness and gentleness. On the other hand, if Jesus doesn't say she must be stoned, then the scribes and the Pharisees can charge him by breaking Moses' law. And they can legitimately and publicly discredit him as a genuine prophet from God. So Jesus is in a trap. What is he supposed to say? But because Jesus is God, he says, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Now, we may have heard this respond, you know, quite often, but we might also look at its brilliance. By this response, Jesus puts the responsibility of the woman's execution on the shoulders of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now they are caught in their own trap. If they throw stones, they'll be arrested by the Romans. And if they don't throw stones, they will appear to be admitting they are sinners. In the end, they chose the shame of their guilt rather than arrest. And, you know, they avoid that because they also won't be stoned or imprisoned by the Roman authorities. Here our Lord was addressing a very common human failing, that of judging others while we are being bowed down by our guilty conscience. For our judgment is sometimes a projection of what is actually going on in our own lives. And so we prefer to put others down so that our sinful conscience may lay hidden from the public. And so when Jesus started to write down on the ground, their conscience was exposed, and from the oldest to the youngest, they left. But Jesus never judges this woman for what she said. Instead, Jesus chose to highlight God's mercy and compassion upon her. At the end of the gospel, Jesus told her, "I do not condemn you." In other words, "I don't judge you. But go and do not sin anymore." As if Jesus was telling her, "Go and start a new life, forget the past, for I have already forgiven you." This gospel episode is perhaps one of the best showcases of Jesus' mercy and compassion. But does this mean that we cannot talk against the evils and failures in our society in the name of "do not judge"? Absolutely no. We are to judge actions, but not judge people. Separate sin from the sinner. We respect and honor each person, for even in their own sins and failures, they are still created in the image and likeness of God. They have this intrinsic core goodness that nothing can destroy. Let us look at the life of Father Augustine Totten. Why was this servant of God and a humble priest treated so badly? You bet it is because of wrong judgment that was cast upon his life, like the woman in the gospel today. I'll shed light on four areas of his life where Father Thornton was judged harshly. This started when he was still a young boy. Father Thornton was born of a slave family. Augustine John Thornton, the second of three children, born into slavery on April 1st, 1854, in Brush Creek, Missouri. Since slaves were judged as non-human, his baptismal record read, "A colored child, property of Stephen Elliott." His mother, Martha Jane Sisley, was given a wedding gift to the Elliott family, on whose plantation she met and married Augustine's father. When Augustus was 7 years old, his father died in civil war, fighting for the belief that all men, including blacks, were equal and should be treated the same as the whites. And because of the evils of our society, this innocent boy was denied the right to have a father figure in his life. He would grow to see his mother toil so hard in order to provide for the physical and emotional needs of her family. Secondly, Father Thornton was racially discriminated as a Catholic grade school kid. When it was unbearable to live in Missouri, the remaining members of the Thornton family escaped the slavery via the Underground Railroad to Quincy, Illinois. Shortly after their arrival, Augustus and his siblings were enrolled in St. Boniface Catholic School. There they were bullied and racialized insults by the classmates. Many parents threatened to remove their children and withhold financial support from the family because of this one black family. The pressure from the white parents and parishioners soon became too great that Miss Thornton decided to withdraw his children from this school. Again, this innocent boy would be denied the basic right to education because of the color of his skin. But he would later prove them wrong when he became an honorary student at a neighboring Catholic school, and later in college, where he excelled in maths, science, and literature. Thirdly, Father Thornton would be denounced as a black seminarian. Due to his love of his Catholic faith, Father Thornton decided to enter the seminary to become a Catholic priest, and in order to serve his local church here in the United States. But his desire and plan was met with insurmountable frustrations and setbacks. First, not a single seminary in the United States wanted to admit him, not because he was not smart, but because he was black. His pastor, Father McGill, who was determined to help him to become a priest, wrote to every seminary in the United States, and all of them rejected a Negro candidate. Eventually, he was admitted to study in Rome as a priest for foreign missions, again judged unworthy to serve in his own diocese and his own country as a priest. Fourth, he was also denounced whether he was actually validly ordained as a priest. After his seminary formation in Rome and ordination as a priest, thinking that he would be sent to Africa to bring the good news, the propaganda feeder, which was sponsoring his education formation, decided otherwise. Father was sent back to United States to bring light and hope to his own people here in the United States. When he arrived in the States, he was assigned to St. Joseph's Parish in Quincy, where he was an excellent pastor. His powerful preaching and great personality attracted both white and black Catholics in great numbers to this parish. Those who heard Father Thornton preach sensed the presence of living Christ in him. Every Sunday, Mass at St. Joseph's was filled to the capacity. But as we know, this caused a lot of jealousy among priests of the neighboring parishes, whose parishioners were leaving their parishes to come and listen to the wisdom of this young priest. In one of the most painful episodes of Father Thornton's priesthood, he discovered that a white priest, Father Michael Weiss, had openly referred him as a nigger priest. Furthermore, Father Wace insisted that white worshippers' contributions to St. Joseph's belong to their own white parishes, and that adherence to the black parish was not valid for white Catholics. In other words, the attending Mass to St. Joseph did not fulfill their Sunday obligation. Why? Because Father Tartan was judged as invalidly ordained priest. Father Tartan's charitable attempts to reach an understanding with this priest was met with a lot of difficulties, because Bishop James Ryan, who was a friend of this Father Wace, told him to minister only to black Catholics. The situation became intolerable, and Father Tartan appealed to Rome, requesting to be changed from his diocese to the Archdiocese of Chicago. He worked to fight the rights and the dignity of the marginalized in South Chicago until his death in July of 1897. Lastly, when he died, this is what Chicago Inter-Ocean newspaper wrote: "A gentleman of realist merit whose story of his life reads like a romance." These words may seem strange to us, given that Father Tartan was born into slavery and he endured prejudice as a boy, rejected as a seminarian, and suffered discrimination as an adult and as a priest. This doesn't seem like a romance to us. His was a life seemingly marked with opposition, harsh judgment, and discrimination. Yet his death from heat exhaustion seems unromantic. But romance did not always mean what it does today. In the 14th century, a romance was a story concerning adventures of a knight or even a hero. And indeed, Father Gaston Tartan lived like a knight and died as a hero. He never allowed the wrong judgments of others to disturb his vocation as a priest or even his call to holiness. And so our prayer this morning is that our Holy Mother Church will examine his life with diligence and judge this servant of God worthy among the righteous of God. Amen.